It is Friday, October 4th, 2013, and from the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice.
The Yonder Mountains Annual Harvest Festival is October 17th through the 19th on Mulberry Mountain in Ozark. Performers include Tedeschi Trucks Band, Beats Antique, Casey Musgraves, and more. Events include fire and burlesque-style performers and workshops for all ages. Tickets and more information at yonderharvestfestival.com.
Ahead on Ozarks, Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com talks to Kyle about what area business leaders think about the partial shutdown of the federal government and what we might expect from an announcement early next week from Governor Mike Beebe and Walmart. Plus, we'll find out from Rhonda Dillard, who is going to the Harvest Music Festival for free. We'll announce the winner of a contest for two tickets to the festival.
First, the partial government shutdown has furloughed hundreds of Arkansans and thousands of Americans while lawmakers in Washington are trying to negotiate a settlement. In an interview yesterday with MSNBC, Republican Congressman and U.S. Senate candidate Tom Cotton of Arkansas said he's worried that national security could suffer as a result of partisan gridlock.
I am concerned about our intelligence agencies, just like I was concerned about our military. That's why Congress unanimously passed a bill earlier this week to fund our troops, and the president signed that. I think we should probably pass a bill to support our intelligence agencies as well, just like we passed bills this week to keep our national parks open and fund the National Institutes of Health and to pay for our veterans programs.
Congressman Cotton says if there is bipartisan agreement, then certain governmental agencies should be allowed to remain open. Meanwhile, things are returning to normal at the U.S. Capitol after yesterday's shooting. Senator Mark Pryor of Arkansas shared his experiences as it happened.
I was actually over in the Capitol building and was making my way back to my office building, which is the Dirksen building. So I was very unaware that anything had happened until the Capitol Police told me that I needed to stay put, and so went to my office, and everyone who was in the office, though, they heard the gunshots, and it literally happened right outside of our windows.
Capitol Police shot and killed a woman who initially tried to ram a White House barricade, then led police on a chase toward the Capitol. Senator Pryor says his staff, which was a skeleton crew because of the government shutdown, followed standard procedure for an emergency, and no one was hurt.
Arkansas Attorney General Dustin McDaniel yesterday approved a petition that proposes to put the issue of medical marijuana on next year's statewide ballot. It is the second such petition to be given the go-ahead in recent weeks, but this one is being proposed by the familiar Arkansans for Compassionate Care, the group that successfully got the medical marijuana measure on last year's general election ballot. Melissa Fultz, campaign director for Arkansans for Compassionate Care, says the group's proposed measure differs from the other proposed initiated act in a few key ways, one of which is a hardship clause, which will allow some patients to grow their own cannabis under certain conditions.
In most dispensaries in most states will deliver anywhere from 25 to 30 miles. If somebody is further than that and they cannot get to a dispensary and the dispensary will not deliver, then they will be able to grow up to 3 plants over 12 inches and 3 seedlings. We also are different because we have the affordability clause. The other one that they approved has no provisions for low-income patients. And then the third thing is the designated caregiver. The other petition does not provide any kind of licensing and protection for the caregivers. And we actually have it set up where they can have a license just like a patient does.
The affordability clause included in the proposed initiative would mean that low-income patients could take their tax returns in when they apply for medical marijuana registration and be placed on a sliding scale that Fultz says is similar to Medicaid to determine the maximum price they would pay for medication. Fultz says she is confident that the group will be successful both in gathering signatures and seeing the measure pass at the ballot box.
We came within 30,000 votes last time. Unlike the other group, we have a huge volunteer base. And they are chomping at the bits to get their petitions and get out there and get the signatures. So I feel totally confident that we will get all the signatures required. We got 140,000 signatures last time. I don't expect anything less this time.
To be included in next year's election, the group must collect more than 62,000 signatures by July.
A few weeks ago, we reported on the beginnings of a nursing program at John Brown University. Yesterday, the program received a boost in the form of a $6 million lead gift. The donor wished to remain anonymous, but the $6 million is a substantial portion of the approximately $10 million that university officials aim to raise to begin the nursing program. Of the $10 million goal, roughly $6 million will go toward construction costs of a nursing building. $4 million will go toward an endowment for operations and facility maintenance.
Tonight's forecast calls for an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 a.m. and a low of 58 in northwest Arkansas, and a 60% chance of showers and a low of 65 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow, there's a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, with highs falling from the mid-60s to around 51 by 5 o'clock in northwest Arkansas and to 61 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with lows from 41 in northwest Arkansas to 48 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. As we do most Fridays, we talk to Michael Tilley, who is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com. Michael is with me on the phone from Fort Smith. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning, this fine Friday morning before the storm hits.
Literally, there is a storm coming.
Right.
A kind of storm has already hit in Washington, D.C., and we are feeling effects slowly but surely throughout this region, maybe in small ways, but nonetheless, people are aware of the partial federal shutdown, aren't they?
They are, and it will, you know, if it continues, those impacts will be more pronounced. I mean, we've already seen, you know, the Arkansas National Guard essentially say, you know, roughly 10,000 guardsmen will not be training. I mean, they've delayed training through October, so that'll have an effect. You know, just for a small example, the several hundred who would drill here in the Fort Smith area, not all of them are from here. So they come here, they may stay in hotel rooms, they're going to eat at restaurants and that kind of thing. So that won't happen. So you have a minor impact there. Interestingly enough, you know, the University of Arkansas has received this $32 million grant to study teenagers who have disabilities and how to get them into the workforce. And I was talking to Brent Williams, who's going to administer that program for the university, and I was asking him some details about the program, and he said, well, I'd like to be able to answer that, but our contact person in D.C. with the Department of Education is on furlough.
Right. So,
you know, so there's even some of those interesting impacts.
And it wasn't there a 60th anniversary celebration for the 188th that's been postponed?
Well, I believe so. We have not reported on that, but I caught a snippet of that, I think, on a Facebook feed.
Yeah. You have you reached some business leaders in this area and asked them some questions about the partial shutdown and had some interesting answers. They're on thecitywire.com.
Right, and you know, it's as we talked before the interview, you know, the responses we get, it's kind of, you wish these guys were in Congress because you know, these are the adults in the room, so to speak. You know, and you know, Jeff Amerine, who's the technology licensing officer at the University of Arkansas, you know, had a great, you know, the first question was, do you believe the shutdown will have a negative impact? You know, if so, in what areas? And, you know, he talks about, you know, if it's a long-term deal, yes, you know, it will definitely hurt, and definitely hurt the startup venture community in Arkansas, and you know, he ends with, let's hope cooler heads prevail soon. And you know, and then we have Gary Head, Signature CEO of Signature Bank there. He had, you know, his point is, you know, Northwest Arkansas is well positioned to avoid any impacts, although he did say, you know, as a bank president, the cost of Obamacare scares him more than a shutdown. So there are some various answers from the head of the home builders in Fort Smith to Sam Secard, who's president and CEO of First Bank Corp, which owns Bank of Rogers and First National Bank of Fort Smith. So it's an interesting cross-section with some interesting answers. I think the most succinct answer we received is from Dan Sankery, CEO of KSAC there in Northwest Arkansas. We asked, you know, who do you blame the most for the shutdown? And his two-word response was, the system. And so, I mean, that's pretty all-encompassing.
Speaking of banks, you were just a moment ago, Arvest, Arkansas-based bank, has grown a little bit, or will grow.
Will grow, and it's a continuation. This year has been interesting. Kim Susan and I were talking about this. Just, you know, we've seen bank acquisitions before, but this year there have been four or five now. I'm not sure the exact number. I guess we've had so many I can't keep up. But Arvest has bought North Little Rock-based National Bank of Arkansas. It's not a large bank. I think they had assets of around 187 million, deposits of 160 million. But it certainly boosts Arvest's presence, especially in central Arkansas. Gives them more market share there in terms of deposits. But, you know, what we've seen through the year so far, you know, you've had Conway-based Home Bank shares purchase Liberty Bank. That was a $280 million deal. Simmons was the low bidder, or the high bidder, I should say, for Metropolitan National Bank. Chambers earlier this year purchased Decatur State Bank. First Federal over in Harrison has purchased First National Bank of Hot Springs. And Heritage Bank of Jonesboro, that was about a $125 million deal. So, I mean, just bam, bam, bam this year. There have been bank consolidations. And, you know, we've had bank industry experts tell us this is what's going to happen. A lot of it's a function of Dodd-Frank, you know, the increased regulatory burden, increased financial cost to run a bank. Some of the smaller banks, they're not going to be able to make it, so they're more open to being purchased by some of the larger regional banks like Arvest and Home Bank Share. So I doubt this is going to be the last of it that we'll see in the next, even the next 12 months.
Well, we are anticipating an announcement Monday morning, late Monday morning in Rogers. Governor Beebe and some Walmart officials are going to be on hand in Rogers to make a jobs announcement. What do you know about that?
Well, it's been pending for some time, you know, and it's hard for us journalists have been in this business a while. It's hard for us to not be cynical. You know, when Walmart announced earlier this year, I think it was in January, that they were going to conduct this push to bring more manufacturers back to the U.S. It's the onshoring is the term for it. You know, they talked about how they were going to make it happen, and then, you know, you had Governor Beebe who said they were working with them. They had some prospects, and then we had this Walmart, the manufacturing summit in August, which was held in Florida, and Beebe came back from that and said, do we have some, you know, some live wires, and so you just kind of say, yeah, whatever. Well, it looks like it's going to happen. Monday, Governor Beebe will be in Rogers. Bill Simon, president and CEO of Walmart U.S., will be there to announce manufacturer. It may not be a lot of jobs. Grant Tenniel, the head of the AEDC, gave us a little bit of a tease earlier in September about some manufacturing companies, and what I took away from that is this will be a company that does a lot of high-volume work. It's a plastics extrusion-type company, and who knows what they make for Walmart, but they do a lot of whatever they do a lot, and it's something that Grant said that they'll eventually, hopefully they'll phase it in, because it's if you have a facility in Mexico or China or whatever, you can't just shut that down and build something else. You have to phase, you have to keep that supply chain, especially if you're dealing with Walmart, you have to keep that supply chain secure. So hopefully this will be one of those things that as they get, and with other companies that come to Arkansas, as they get established and start building up, then they can slowly phase more of their operations away from, you know, overseas and back to the United States and ideally Arkansas.
Well, whatever the announcement is, we should know more in about 72 hours.
Right, yep, and hopefully we'll know more about the Razorbacks' SEC hopes in within 48 hours, I guess.
Any predictions?
I'd love for this to be an upset. And based on if they play like they did against Texas A&M, man, an upset's not out of the question.
Of course, it's on the road, and that's always different, right?
Yeah, well, especially in the swamp. I mean, gosh, Florida on the road, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you that Arkansas wins by 4 points.
There you go.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers news, sports, and much more for the entire region. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Have a great weekend.
This is folk singer Michael Jonathan. The Woodsongs Old Time Radio Hour is coming to Eureka Springs for a huge double show worldwide broadcast. It's Saturday, October 26th at the Odd, featuring the legendary Michael Martin Murphy. You ain't calling. and Leroy Troy in the Tennessee Mafia Jug Band, plus amazing artists from across the Ozarks. For tickets, 253-7333 or visit OzarkFolkFestival.com.
We have occasion here on Ozarks at Large to profile native Arkansasoyers who've turned the century mark. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich takes us to a Madison County school to meet Tobe Bohannon.
Watson Primary School in Huntsville's jammed with children this bright Wednesday morning. They're excited because they'll let out early today. Long lines of children guided by teachers past the school's maintenance man, Mr. Tobe Bohannon. When they spot him, many wave and smile. Some even stop for a hug. Mr. Tobe, they call him, is 100 years old.
Hi.
Hey, Mr. Tobe.
Hi, hon.
Tell me your name.
Noble B. Bohannon. Born 1913. April 29th.
He laughs as he says it. Does seem impossible. Surviving the influenza epidemic of 1918 when he was just 5 years old, the Great Depression, two world wars, the industrial age, the space age, the digital revolution, 9/11, and whatever era we're in right now. Anyway, Mr. Bohannon shows up here every morning by 6:30 a.m.
And I'll unload the buses. Then after they're gone, and all the kids are in, I go around and lock all outside doors so nobody can get in, you know.
With chronic and violent school shootings, Huntsville School District, with 2,300 students, like all districts in America, is on guard. And they look to Mr. Bohannon for frontline security surveillance. He constantly roams the halls, checking doors and watching for any strange activity. His pace is not impaired. His eyesight and hearing are just fine. And his grip, incredibly strong. Principal Matt Cook says he's a valuable asset to the school.
Who is an example to all the kids. Kids look up to. He comes in every day, does his job, and obviously is here for one reason. That's for the kids and the kids' safety, and make sure that they are all being taken care of every time he's around.
Mr. Bohannon's people settled Bohannon Mountain in Madison County back in the 1800s, but he was born at Rockhouse Community in Southern Carroll County to William Riley and Lillian Precia Harveston.
There was five of us kids. The youngest one was 3 years old. Oldest one was 12, and I was next to the oldest one. Anyway, my mother, we had a milkman. They eloped and ran away, left us kids with my dad. So my dad raised us, five boys.
Young Noble dropped out of school at the age of 13 to help support the family, he said, in a rather unorthodox way.
We, me and one of my cousins, he was older than me, and we had a horse and a buggy, and we took the upholstery loose around the buggy seat and wrapped the pints and half a pint of whiskey and put them down in there. And drive to Eureka Springs, sold whiskey out of the buggy.
Brewed from sparkling spring water, he said. Prohibition had shuttered all Eureka's saloons, so the young entrepreneurs found a robust market for their corn whiskey. While in Eureka, the young Noble found a legitimate job doing rock work with the local highway crew. He and his family also picked up seasonal migrant work, picking peaches, apples, and strawberries.
Well, we all worked at Springdale in the fruit harvest and whatever come along. But we got by pretty good.
His father eventually took a job with the railroad. Noble Tobe Bohannon married, bore a daughter, and left Arkansas for Southern California in 1936 at the age of 23 to build naval shipyards along the West Coast, then hired on as an electrical worker for the Navy. He and his wife separated. He stayed in L.A. doing construction, specializing in concrete work. By the 1950s, he helped build the now iconic modernist Tishman Plaza building on Wilshire Boulevard. Google it. It's very cool. His daughter by his first wife passed away at the age of 65. Tobe met his current spouse, Barbara, in Los Angeles. She was working for American Airlines. She was catching the bus downtown when they encountered each other. They spoke and soon were married, he said. She was 29, he was 59. They have one son. And when Mr. Bohannon first moved back to the Ozarks from the West Coast, he did try to retire.
I was going to quit. I retired from the Finishers Union and got my unemployment and everything. I moved back here and I was going to quit. I built a new house in Marble on 40 acres, and it didn't go very big because I wanted to work.
Under the federal Green Thumb program, Mr. Bohannon got a job working for the Huntsville School District in the 1980s. He's been there ever since. Barbara also works here, too, at the elementary school as a substitute teacher. She's often reminded of being out in public with Tobe so much that she's married to a novel figure.
It's true, you know, and he's seen a lot, and he's been a good provider, and yeah, and not many people, 100, have a 37-year-old son.
That 37-year-old son, Todd Bohannon, is a musician and manager for Ben Jack's Music Store in Bentonville. Noble Tobe Bohannon is a sight now. He takes no medicine, has never been hospitalized, he said, except for a bad appendix. He's trim and muscular. He sports a white mustache and a Huntsville school ball cap. He doesn't smoke or drink, but he laughs a lot, and he loves compliments.
I like for people to say, boy, you're in good shape for your age. I'll tell you this and that. There's nobody, I don't guess anybody around my age that does what I do and enjoys doing it for the people.
And get this, Noble Tobe Bohannon still does concrete finishing work. Mr. Bohannon takes us up a sloping sidewalk he poured years ago up the hill from the cafeteria. He engineered it as a conduit. Rainfall kept flooding the cafeteria below. It's been dry for years, he said.
And see how I fixed for the water to run down and around? We ain't had a drop in there since.
We head back inside, and along the way, another flock of children pass by, eager to say hello.
Get out here, look.
Get out.
Come on out here.
Last April, the Bohannon family, including a crop of great-great-grandkids, along with 100 friends, celebrated Tobe's 100th birthday with music, cake, and song. He's among 53,000 other centenarians, and the odds of becoming one are good. One out of every 26 baby boomers can expect to live to age 100. But sadly, those who do reach the century mark are often circumscribed by disability or illness. But remarkable elders like Mr. Noble Tobe Bohannon exemplify that living into our hundreds is not only possible, it can be a real pleasure. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
In just a moment, Becca Martin Brown from Northwest Arkansas Newspapers will tell us about music in the region from Onda Union to ZZ Top this weekend.
One musical performance I want to remind you about right now takes place tomorrow morning at 10:30 at the Fayetteville Public Library. The Sugar Free All-Stars will bring their all-ages show to the library. It's the first of several Saturday morning events in October at the library. You can learn more at faylib.org.
If you prefer running to music, tomorrow is one of the best days to lace up the running shoes in Fayetteville. The annual Chili Pepper Running Festival begins early tomorrow morning with an open 10K race at 7:30, followed by the open 5K at 9. The collegiate races are at 9:45 and 10:20, and the high school and junior high races start at 11. You can see the complete schedule and directions to the course at chilipepperfestival.org.
You ran cross country in high school, did you not?
I did. I did do the Chili Pepper.
Ah, you were a state champion, were you not?
The team
member
was.
I
was a member of a team that won a state championship.
Both in cross country and soccer.
Yes.
I bring that up because the Arkansas Razorback soccer team plays twice at home this weekend. They'll host LSU tonight at 7, Mississippi State Sunday afternoon at 1. Arkansas 8-3 so far this year, 1-2 in conference play.
And both soccer teams at John Brown University are at home tomorrow afternoon in Siloam Springs. The women's team will host Southwestern Christian at 1, and the men's team hosts Southwestern Christian at 3.
The JBU volleyball team, see, it's homecoming weekend at JBU.
Oh, is it?
So they've got everything going on.
Okay.
The JBU volleyball team also in town this weekend. They'll play conference opponent Mid-American Christian tomorrow morning at 11. The University of Arkansas Fort Smith volleyball team at home tomorrow at noon. They'll face St. Edward's University. The Lady Lions have won 4 of their last 5 matches.
The Arkansas Razorback volleyball team is on the road tonight, but they will return to Barnhill Arena Sunday afternoon at 1:30 to play Auburn. We'll be right back.
It is Friday, October 4th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
So turning 90 deserves a party, right?
Absolutely.
No, not you, not me. We know it's not Antoinette.
Not me.
It's the Fort Smith Symphony.
90, and they don't look a day over 30.
Exactly. And they're going to party big time for the next year, starting this weekend. John Jetter, who is the music director, he's been there for 18 years.
Wow.
Director of the organization for 5. And he says that symphony hasn't always grown in leaps, but it's grown steadily. Mm-hmm. And at the heart of it is the commitment to quality music. Mm-hmm. He says that most performers come from a 5 to 6 hour radius of Fort Smith. And some come on a show-by-show basis from as far away as New York.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Some of them have to fly in like the day of the first rehearsal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
So there's a Saturday party and then a concert. And the concert includes the debut of composer Charles Booker's Borderline, mm-hmm. which is stories about Fort Smith. And then Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 3 with Alan Chow.
Ah!
An old friend of Northwest Arkansas. And the last piece is Rachmaninoff Symphony No. 2, Opus 27, which will highlight what the orchestra is capable of playing.
All right.
All of this starts at 5 o'clock Saturday at the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center in Fort Smith. The party is $100. Should have been $90.
Well, but if you add up $10 per everybody who's going, that helps the symphony.
Oh, yeah. And the
we're public radio. We know about asking
okay,
for money.
That's
yes.
true. And the concert is at 7:30, same location, and tickets for that start at $15. I would call.
Yes, $15, very inexpensive.
Yeah, I would call.
Yeah.
452-7575. And while we're speaking about music, mm-hmm. ZZ Top. Can you go any further than from symphonic music to ZZ Top?
I'm so sad I'm going to miss this. I was looking forward to it.
Well, they have not been around for 90 years. They've been around for almost half of that.
That's mm-hmm. true. They're performing at 7:30 tonight at the Arkansas Music Pavilion. Exciting for local people, the Ben Miller Band
yes.
is the opening act. And they have just signed a deal with New West Records, which is home to people like Kris Kristofferson and Steve Earle and the Drive-By Truckers.
Very cool.
Impressive roster.
So tickets for that start at $37 at the Arkansas Music Pavilion in Fayetteville. The first of the 10x10 series.
This is thrilling stuff. Nothing against ZZ Top, but this is perhaps your only chance to see this.
It's a Mongolian music group,
yes.
Onda Union, mm-hmm. and they're famous for something that's called throat singing,
yes.
which, as I understand it, means that a person somehow sings two notes at the same time.
Yes.
Oh. That's impressive.
Oh, it's really impressive to be sitting there
to
and
hear
it. Yes.
Oh.
And they also have musicians that are called long song singers, mm-hmm. which is exactly what it sounds like. They can hold notes for a long time.
Oh, wow.
And apparently their music goes back thousands of years.
Millennia, yes.
This happens at 8 o'clock tonight at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. Tickets start at $10.
Because it's the 10x10 series. And at those 10x10 concerts, afterward, you're allowed, you know, they'll have sticky notes and you can make comments. And there's usually a sort of festive party mm-hmm. atmosphere in the lobby.
And for 10 bucks, what are you going to do?
Well, you're
really?
Going to go and you're going to enjoy music.
So, not for $10, but starting at $29, which is quite a bargain, Aaron Neville's at the Walton Arts Center on Saturday night.
Right.
8 o'clock. One of the Neville brothers, of course, from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out about tickets for that at 443-5600. When last I checked, it was not sold out.
Okay.
At the Van Buren Fine Arts Center on Saturday night, also at 8 o'clock, the Grits and Glamour Tour, mm-hmm. which is Pam Tillis and Lori Morgan.
Wow.
Huh.
That's a lot of country music
that
in one place.
That is a lot of country music in one place.
For tickets starting at $25.
Oh, wow.
And that's Saturday night.
That's Saturday night. And then there's this thing that's kind of music. Well, music is kind of...
Music is involved.
Involved.
Will it involve people singing?
Yes.
Well...
Will you be singing tonight?
I will be singing tonight.
This thing is the Gridiron Show. You know, when journalists get together, they either tell stories about mayhem, murder, and chickens crossing the road, mm-hmm. or they spoof oil spills, tree killings, and dancing pies.
So Gridiron tonight and tomorrow night at RLT.
And the theme is truth, justice, and the gridiron way with
poor UA journalism professor Gerald Jordan as the master of ceremonies.
Oh, Gerald can...
He can handle it.
Yeah, he'll do fine.
And for people
that
aren't...
Has he ever seen a gridiron show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yes, yes, yes. He laughs at me every year.
Okay, so he's not just coming into this innocently.
No.
Okay. I feel better.
Yes, very little innocent about Gerald
Yes,
Jordan.
And for people that haven't been, you know, local journalists get together, they write skits, think Saturday Night Live, making fun of local newsmakers and national newsmakers from
and
the
themselves.
Last year. And themselves, yes, and themselves.
Okay, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night, Rogers Little Theater tickets are $25. Now, also this weekend for kids.
Yes.
Carson and Barnes Circus is in Rogers with elephants.
Yay, circus.
I like elephants. 2 and 5 on Saturday, 2 and 5 on Sunday at the Frisco Station Mall. It's sponsored by the Rogers Breakfast Kiwanis Club, and tickets for that start at $8. It's the Arkansas Apple Festival weekend.
In Lincoln.
That happens from 9 to 6 tomorrow and 9 to 3 on Sunday. I personally like the arts and crafts, but there are lovely events like apple core throwing that you might enjoy. Puppets in the Park is tomorrow.
Yeah.
From 9 to 6:30 at Wilson Park in Fayetteville, and also Art in the Park at the same time.
Right.
And the American Girl Fashion Shows are this weekend at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale, 12:30 and 4 on both Saturday and Sunday. If your kids love American Girl... $35 includes a tea party.
Mm-hmm.
Great mom-daughter thing. Right. So choose out of that. I washed my hands of the whole thing.
That's a lot.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
When Jimmy Wales started Wikipedia, it was manageable.
In the early days, I used to read every single edit as they came in. I would click and see what someone had done.
Someone in Yellow Springs, Ohio. Edited. Spanish language. Someone United Kingdom. Edited. Of Monsters and Men.
That only lasted for a very short period of time. It got very fast. Someone edited. Someone edited. It was impossible to keep up with everything.
Channeling chaos into collaboration. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Listen Sunday at noon to KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. While strolling around the Fayetteville Farmers Market on a Saturday morning, you'll find fresh produce, familiar faces, and live music. The corners of the downtown square are often occupied by local musicians performing for passersby. One quartet you're likely to see playing along the sidewalk is Block Street Hot Club. The four members of the group, Clay Johnson, Andrew Chu, Felipe Antonio, and Ryan Ashworth, recently stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio. The musicians are all students at the University of Arkansas and have been performing since early June. During our conversation, Ryan explained how the group came to be.
Andrew and Felipe were in a gypsy jazz ensemble at the university. And so they were studying this music with Dr. Greason, the guitar professor at the university, and they did the gypsy jazz group for several semesters. And then Felipe and I met because we had to do a recital together. So we played a piece together, and then when school ended, we decided to make a gypsy jazz group to go play at the Fayetteville Farmers Market, and it kind of snowballed from there, and we continued to refine the group, so to speak. And so, yeah.
And so we've ended up with a quartet, and I know I've seen you guys out at the Fayetteville Farmers Market. Is that the only place you play, or you just sort of decided to start there?
Well, we've played several places. We've played the city of Bentonville's hired us to play there around the block for a few months, so we've done the third Thursday there. We played at the Ozark Folkways. Mm-hmm. We performed there for their first Friday or first Thursday, something like that. We performed at the Press Room. We're playing at Greenhouse Grill October the 4th. We'll be playing the dinner set there. So we have quite a few things on the books, and we're playing out as much as possible. You can check us out on Facebook. We keep everybody updated.
Do you prefer to play outside?
To play outside?
Mm-hmm. I mean, because you went to the farmer's market. Any particular reason why?
Well, the Fayetteville Farmer's Market is a really, in my opinion, I don't know, it's a really good place to perform in front of people and get a lot of attention. We have business cards, and so, I mean, we hand out tons of business cards
networking
every Saturday.
Networking is simple. It's easy to network at the farmer's market. You see tons of people, and, you know, people that are in the community being active and supporting local things, music and art and things of that nature.
Have you found that a lot of the people that have booked you for some of these gigs have been like, hey, I saw you at the farmer's market, as I just did, actually?
Definitely. Definitely, yeah.
It's surprising to find there's actually a large number of people that enjoy the music. We thought we were kind of in a small niche, you know, to where people would like what they heard but not be familiar. But it's surprising that a lot of people have heard of, you know, Django Reinhardt and other gypsy players and love the music and wish that more groups were playing like we do.
Well, for those that aren't familiar with gypsy jazz, can you tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. Felipe, why don't you
music
tell
majors?
Us a little bit about gypsy jazz?
I'd say pretty much the father of it is Django Reinhardt, and it's pretty much the guy that influenced us. And the guy just pretty much got the American jazz and from Louis Armstrong and guys like that, and pretty much playing his style, his gypsy style. And he pretty much played with his two fingers, and played a chord with three fingers, because he had suffered an accident before. Mm. That burned pretty much half of his body and his hand, his left hand. So he...
It's actually a pretty tragic story. I mean, he always, after the accident, heard chords that he would never be able to play, only having two fingers.
Huh.
But adapted and learned how to play the instrument a different way, you know, and excelled and did well and sounded great, had his own sound.
Yeah, and initially growing up, he had all four fingers. And he was about to go on tour in Europe and went home to tell his wife that he was excited about a tour, and his caravan caught on fire and completely deformed his hand. And so Django Reinhardt single-handedly kind of changed the face of jazz music with two fingers doing things that most guitar players with four fingers just dream about doing. And he and Stefan Grappelli created gypsy jazz, the sound that's really, really unique, jazz manouche.
So it came out of the fact that he had that accident and had fewer fingers.
His playing style kind of emerged from the way that he played single notes, emerged from his limited ability to do certain things on the instrument.
And I know there's different types of jazz, and forgive me for being ignorant on this, but and I can tell that it sounds different, but I don't know why it's different. I know there are different types. So if I'm listening, what do I hear so that I know that it's gypsy jazz?
Well,
a more swing style?
Well, it swings like most jazz does, but most of the feel throughout the entire piece is usually in two or like a heavy on the downbeat, and it feels slower to people. It's not as brisk or as fast, or like in jazz, the bass walks in four, like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and it makes, you know, it's a different beat to dance to. It's kind of hard to explain, I suppose.
I think that another characteristic sound of gypsy jazz in particular is the two guitars that play. There are guitars that are specifically designed for this type of music or have been traditionally used to play gypsy jazz. And when you hear a gypsy jazz guitar played, it has a really distinct sound. And it's completely different from any other guitar. And then, primarily, it's joined with a violin. And so we really have the traditional gypsy jazz sound. So it comes from, I think, those two guitars with the bass style that Clay was saying, and also having that violin. And the guitars really kind of create this punchy feeling that Clay was...
Sound,
very, really percussive sound. And that's, to me, personally, kind of characterizes gypsy jazz.
And how did you guys come up with your name, Block Street Hot Club?
Well, that was just the street we played on, but we actually saw the sign not too long ago, and it's actually Block Avenue instead of Block Street, but
sure.
It sounds better that way, I guess.
Well, I mean, they still call themselves Block Street businesses and things like that, so I think it's officially, unofficially Block Street.
Yeah, right.
And a hot club is usually just describing a gypsy jazz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Django's first group with Stefan Grappelli was called the Hot Club of France.
Yeah, Hot Club Quintet of Paris.
Okay. I've heard the name Hot Club, and so that's specific to gypsy jazz?
Primarily, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mentioned covers, but I know you guys are working on an EP, so will that include originals?
We have an original tune. There's one original song that we have in our repertoire, so to speak.
That Ryan composed?
Does it have a name?
Yeah, it has a name. It's Swing for Sydney. That's the name of it.
Who's Sydney?
Sydney's my wife. I wrote it for my wife.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, thanks.
It's very sweet.
Well, when you write a song for someone, is it, I mean, I imagine you performed it for her.
Yeah, and I definitely sort of had her in mind while I was thinking about just the way that the melody kind of moved and made me feel when I listened to it, and so that, yeah.
Does it make you nervous the first time that you play that for her? Like, so is this a song that I wrote about you for you here? I hope you like it.
Yeah, I guess kind of. But all I guess I was more than nervous. I was really excited because I felt like it was good. And so when I said, hey, I wrote this song for you, I was excited. I think more than nervous. And I think she liked it. Unless she just lied to me and told me that she liked it, and she doesn't.
I'm sure she did.
What a painter.
I'm sure she did lie to you.
No. I'm sure she enjoyed it, not that she lied.
No, I'm joking.
Would a painter not paint a beautiful masterpiece for his woman?
This is good.
Well, have the other three of you tried your hand at writing original songs for the band?
No, I've been thinking about it, but just
thinking about it.
Haven't had the time to.
Oh, I understand that.
Busy learning everyone else's music to write our own.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, Ryan, when we first met, it was last year, and yes, it was with Ryan Ashworth and the Hodads.
Yeah.
That was Surf Rock.
Surf Rock.
This
yeah.
is entirely different.
Well, yeah. When we did the Surf Rock thing, there was still an improvisation element. And so when we took our solos, we were still soloing over the song form. And that's the same thing that happens in jazz music. And the Surf Rock was kind of watered down harmonically. So there were like three chords, but we still were kind of improvising. And so that was one of the reasons that I liked the Surf Rock, was because I could still improvise and it had the elements of music that I still like. So.
Do you guys do a lot of improvisation with this group?
Oh.
Mostly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every solo is improvised, you know.
It's always a different performance.
It's always a different performance.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. I feel like that's a standard thing with jazz, but, you know, the minute I assume, then somebody's like, no, we do not improvise at all.
Zero improvisation in this jazz.
Well, perfect. Well, if people want more information, where can they find you guys?
Block Street Hot Club on Facebook, if you just look us up on Facebook, or we also have an email address, which is blockstreethotclub@gmail.com. So either way, we're available on the internet and at any of the performance venues that we mentioned.
Okay. Well, you guys brought some instruments. You want to play something for me?
Definitely.
This is All of Me, and the chart says it was written by Simons and Marx, and I don't even know who those people are.
Before 1925. So.
Yeah, it's in public domain, so we're not in trouble. So, we're playing All of Me. Ready? One, two, ready, go.
Thank you.
That was Clay Johnson, Andrew Chu, Felipe Antonio, and Ryan Ashworth, the four members of Block Street Hot Club, inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. You can hear the quartet tonight from 6 to 9 at Greenhouse Grill in Fayetteville. They will also be performing at the Fayetteville Farmers Market tomorrow and every Saturday during the market season, weather permitting. For more information, search Block Street Hot Club on Facebook.
And before this edition of Ozarks at Large ends, more music. Well, music-related, right? Rhonda Dillard is back with us. Welcome back.
Good morning, everyone.
We love bringing Rhonda in.
We do. I love coming in.
Because she gives gifts.
That's right.
Everybody loves a good gift, right?
Yes.
These are two tickets.
Yes.
They
are two tickets to the Yonder Mountain String Band Harvest Music Festival.
Right.
We were laughing earlier. Say that three times really fast.
You need two T-shirts to say I went to that.
Exactly.
I know, right?
All those words.
We're half on the front.
I just call it Harvest at this point.
I think most do.
Yeah, I do too. Very excited. It's just in a couple of weeks. Antoinette
right.
and I are both
yes.
going. We were just sitting here talking, okay, what do we need
what
for
do we
camping?
Need for camping?
Yeah, what are we going to remember? Forget?
Oh,
okay.
I know. Rain boots. Can I just tell anybody that's going, regardless of whether or not you win this, if you're going, rain boots.
Rain boots. Always.
Yes.
Rain boots.
And a poncho.
And up to your knees.
Like, yes.
And I know it's October, but suntan lotion, bug repellent,
sunscreen
that sort of thing.
Yeah
sunscreen,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
Not, yeah. I'll be living vicariously through you because I'll be in Baltimore for a wedding.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be rocking out on
we
your
will.
Behalf.
All right.
Well, who's going to be rocking out with you?
Now,
is this just for tickets?
This is for tickets and camping as well.
Wow.
Tickets for two, one pair of tickets. And as I said, October the 17th through the 19th, up and coming, three-day festival. For me personally, the big bands I'm really excited about is Les Claypool's Duo de Twang,
mm-hmm.
because I'm a huge Primus fan. So I think that's going to be super great. This Carrie Musgraves,
mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot about her. But
I keep hearing that's the person to catch.
Everybody's saying she is fantastic. She writes songs with Miranda Lambert and mm-hmm. all these huge music people. So
won't Beats Antique be there as well?
They will, which
That's
I'm excited
exciting.
About. I've seen yeah. them, and they're at George's last year, mm-hmm. 2 years ago maybe. They were a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And Tedeschi's Trucks.
Yeah.
I know people are excited about that.
Yeah. Oh,
Elephant
okay.
Revival was at Roots Festival.
And
yes.
brought the house down.
They did. And that was when I took time to eat dinner. So I missed a lot of their sets. So I am bound and determined to catch them here because I think
Good.
They have two sets.
I was going to say, I think they Excellent. Have two shows because one of my friends said that's the only reason she's going.
Mm-hmm.
She, or one of the main mm-hmm. reasons, but she loves that band. So
I'm excited.
All right, so
let's get a drum roll.
And I'll let Antoinette read the winner.
Okay, congratulations to Brad Yoder of Rogers, Arkansas.
All
Yay,
right.
Brad, congratulations. Brad, I'll get a hold of you today and send you details. And thanks to everyone who did enter. We do not have anything up on the site right now, but I've got two very exciting things in the works.
Okay.
So I will get those up and stay tuned for more details.
Before we know it, it'll be time for Christmas.
I know. That's true. We'll have a great Christmas giveaway as well. Usually we have anywhere between 10 and 15 items that we give away. And so a lot of people get to win.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, guys.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
Support for KUAF is provided by the 8th Annual Cherokee Art Market, featuring 130 Native American artists, along with interactive cultural demonstrations October 12th and 13th inside the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tulsa. More information is available at CherokeeArtMarket.com. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Bentonville, Fort Smith, Rogers.
You went to Gridiron last night. You were on stage.
I was on stage.
I went because this is such a busy weekend.
I know.
But this was the only dress rehearsal.
Dress rehearsal was the only time you could go.
Yeah, I really like to go on Friday or Saturday night because it's a full house and it's...
We had a pretty full house last
night.
It was like 85 people is what I heard.
Yeah, well, I believe that. It was a lot of fun. You were great. I'm
Thank
not just
you.
Saying that. Zeke Martin, who also works here, his first ever Gridiron.
I know.
He in one skit portrays head coach Brett Bielema,
mm-hmm.
and he's very good.
Mm-hmm.
They are both from the same part of the world.
They are, so that worked out very well.
Yes.
But yeah, so you had fun.
I had a lot of fun.
Well,
and
I'm glad you worked through our hiccups. It was dress rehearsal, so
it
things
was.
That we were still figuring out that we have... I think, mostly figured out for tonight and tomorrow.
And Gerald Jordan, who is
yes.
a journalism professor at the University of Arkansas and is this year's MC,
yes.
he's a natural performer. He's a ham.
He's always been a ham. I had him as a professor
on
campus.
See, I know he joined the faculty long after I was gone. He's funny.
He's kind of the reason I stayed in journalism.
Wow. Well, yeah. I didn't see that. Well, he's very, very funny.
Yeah.
And whatever you're paying him to be MC, he is earning it.
Yes. So if you guys want to come check it out, local journalists performing Saturday Night Lifestyle skits, mm-hmm. making fun of newsmakers. So anybody from the president to the University of Arkansas staff.
Yes.
You can come check us out tonight at 7:30 or at 7:30 tomorrow night at Victory Theater, Rogers Little Theater in Rogers.
I'm going to tell you that the visual joke that comes about the ongoing controversy about power lines in Carroll County.
Yes.
Just that alone is worth the ticket price. I'm not going to give anything away, but it's one of the funniest jokes.
Oh, dear.
In Gridiron in a long time.
Well.
Bring your sense of humor.
Please bring your sense of
humor. And understand, there are no sacred cows.
There are no sacred cows.
Right.
And tickets are $25, and the money goes to scholarships, and money proceeds from the bar, because there is a cash bar, goes to Rogers Little Theater. So it's all for a good cause. Come have a laugh and support some good things.
And my goodness, there's a lot going on. We don't have time, but so many things going on throughout the region. I hope to hit some of them. Now, Razorbacks are on television Saturday night. Should be a packed weekend. Okay. I'll be back with Christina Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening, and break a leg tonight in the
Thank
first
you.
Real performance, I guess you would say,
Thank
of
you.
Gridiron. You were fantastic.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, everyone.